by way of introduction, but then we're going to move across to Exodus chapter 3. And Exodus chapter 3 is where Moses is told to take off his shoes because the place whereon he stands is holy ground as the Lord meets with him from the burning bush. And I just want to look at Acts chapter 7 because Stephen, when Stephen preaches the message to the Sanhedrin here, where he is telling them their history, if you like, he actually gives us some details to Moses' life that we don't necessarily have in the Old Testament. And I want to look at a diversion that Moses took. As you know, we're looking at Bible diversions, and we're seeing how some diversions have been good, some diversions have been long, some diversions have been troublesome, some diversions have been costly. And Moses took quite a few diversions in his life. And we've actually looked at a few indirectly already. If you remember, we looked at when Moses was born and that diversion that his parents took when they placed him in the ark in the bulrushes. We looked last week at the diversion that lasted for almost 40 years when the children of Israel refused to go into the promised land. And that was the latter 40 years of Moses' life. And the diversion we want to look at today happened, if you like, somewhere in between. And I want to look at the diversion of instruction. The diversion of instruction. In Acts chapter 7, and we look at verse 20 through to verse 36. And Stephen said this, "In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them that as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst kill the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years was expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the Lord, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold, and said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, who they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after they had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this opportunity to open up your word. We pray that you would just continue to speak to our hearts tonight. We ask that you would help us in those moments of our lives where you instruct us so clearly, Lord. And oftentimes we face similar situations to Moses where we are left literally alone with nothing but ourselves and a holy God. And we just pray that you would continue to teach us thy ways. We pray that even through these times of difficulty, we would be instructed from the word of God. And Father, we pray as a result of that, that we would learn many of the lessons that Moses learned, many of those lessons that took Moses 40 years to learn. We pray that you would help us tonight to understand what it is we need to change in our lives, that we might be the light that we need to be in this dark and desperate world. We pray and ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. D.L. Moody said that Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody, 40 years learning he was nobody, and 40 years discovering what God could actually do with a nobody. And in Exodus chapter 3, and that's where we'll turn for our remaining time together tonight. In Exodus chapter 3, we see some of the lessons that Moses learned on this diversion of instruction. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness. And this is before the crossing of the Red Sea. This is a different 40-year period in the wilderness. After he fled Egypt, he spent 40 years in the backside of the desert, and there the Lord taught him some valuable lessons. I said last week that was one of the longest diversions we were going to look at, and then when studying for this week, it's yet another 40-year diversion. But 40 years the Lord was teaching Moses. And it's incredible how, we can learn from this diversion of instruction that Moses took. And we too never stop learning. If we ever get to a point where we think we know all there is to know about the Bible, then we're in trouble. We are setting ourselves up for a fall because we never stop learning. There is never going to be a point in our lives where we don't see something from the Scripture that we'd never seen before, where the Lord is not able to teach us a lesson, where the Lord is not able to mold us or shape us into the believer that we need to be before he returns. And that's the first thing I want to look at from this diversion of instruction. This diversion shaped Moses. And when we go on a diversion of instruction, it shapes us. If you look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1, it says that Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. For four decades, Moses has been tending sheep. Moses, from our point of view, has fallen from grace. Moses has gone from a prince in Pharaoh's palace to being a shepherd on the backside of the desert. Remember, shepherds weren't people of high regard or high esteem in that type of society. It wasn't a privileged type of position. Moses just trod the same path day after day. 14,400 days or more, he was on a diversion of instruction. God was teaching him in, if you like, the desert university. During that time of instruction, there were sharp edges were smooth and sanded off. Where his head may have been puffed up, there was some deflation needed. Somebody who thought he had arrived, God had to bring him down a peg or two to the point where he could use him. And when we get to that point, when we are on the diversion of instructions, there are times where God literally needs to pull us down a peg or two. In the desert of our lives, men, things, the world, ourselves, present circumstances are valued at what they are really worth. Moses had left the hustle and the bustle and even the confusion of Egypt, and he wasn't heard of. He was in the solitude of the sand and the snakes and the scorpions and the stones. There was no clamor of the commercial world that he had left back in Egypt. They weren't there in Midian. There wasn't the bright lights of the city, if you like, there in the desert. And oftentimes in our loneliest of times, in our wilderness type of experiences, the Lord is able to teach us far more than when we are busied in our everyday lives. In Moses' life, God used several teachers in this university to teach him some vital lessons. First of all, I always remember a message, and I remember the message, I don't remember who preached it. It was a message called Dr. Law and Dr. Grace, and it was an incredible message. And I came across this thought this week from another commentator who said that there were several professors that Moses met on this university in the wilderness, this diversion of instruction. And the first doctor was Dr. Obscurity. Moses was, for all intents and purposes, now a nobody. He had gone from being a somebody, and now he had to cope with being a nobody. He had been put in charge of a flock of sheep. That would require discipline. That would require patience. That would require compassion. That would require responsibility. That would require courage. The life of being a shepherd, whilst it wasn't a prestigious job, it wasn't a, you know, it wasn't an easy one. And God had taken him from the palace, where he would have had servants and people running around from him, to now being a shepherd, having the responsibility of leading the sheep to make sure that they had everything that they needed. Not only did Dr. Obscurity teach Moses, Dr. Time helped Moses to learn him to cope, to be patient. How many of us are patient? You know, I vowed many years ago to never, ever preach on patience. Because God just doesn't give you the gift of patience. God will give you the gift of trials to help you learn patience. So I vowed never, ever to preach on patience, because I am lacking in that area. I'm a very impatient person. And I think that's why God gave me 3 women to live with. You have to learn patience when you've got 3 women and 1 bathroom. Exactly. You got more than 1 bathroom though, so we don't even come anywhere near close. But Dr. Time, you know, the Lord helped Moses to learn patience. 40 years earlier, Moses had taken matters into his own hands to almost force God's hands to hurry things along. And we want things to happen now. We want things to happen quickly. We want things to happen instantly. Sometimes God says, wait. But we don't want to wait. We want it now. We want that answer to prayer now. We want that situation resolved now. Regardless of the lessons we might be able to learn in that situation, we want the situation gone. And sometimes God has to put us on a diversion of instruction so the Dr. Time can come along and say, wait. And that's the hard thing. But Moses had no option in the backside of the desert. There was nothing else to do. But Dr. Solitude came along and educated Moses in silence. Who would Moses talk to as he took the sheep to the backside of the desert? It's not like you're not going through the middle of a main town, you know, where everybody's heading towards. Moses would have been left alone with his own thoughts, with his own company, as it were. Maybe reflecting upon the things he had done wrong in the past. Maybe meditating upon some of the things that his mother was able to share with him, that his family was able to share with him. Maybe he would reflect upon those moments where he had to depend upon God. And then Dr. Discomfort comes along and uses the harsh circumstances of the Midian desert to strengthen Moses. We don't like being discomforted. We like our comforts. We like our creature comforts. We like to be comfortable. I don't know about you, but when I go home, I don't really want to sit on the floor and eat my food. I'd like to sit at a comfortable table. I don't want to sit on the floor and, you know, that's not a way of relaxing. If a beanbag is not there, then I don't want to go down on the floor. I want to be on the settee. I like comfort. And sometimes we like that in our Christian lives. We like it comfortable. We would like everything to line up. We would like everything to go smoothly. We would like to get saved. And then when we get saved, we'd like all of our family to simply fall in line and get saved along with us. Then we would all like to go to church and worship God and never have another problem, never have any financial difficulties, never have any health issues, never suffer any kind of loss, and just go comfortably all the way through to heaven. Wouldn't that be great? And then the Lord comes along and says, in this world, you'll have tribulation. In this world, you'll have difficulties. In this world, you'll suffer loss. In this world, you will face trials. But we don't like that. We want to be comfortable. But sometimes God takes us out of our comfort zone. Sometimes God makes us uncomfortable so that he can teach us certain things. Dr. Discomfort used the harsh Midian desert to strengthen Moses spiritually, so that Moses would have to rely upon God and God alone. In Egypt, Moses had the backing of the Pharaoh's household at his disposal. Now in the desert, all he has is his God. That's it. School is now out and it's time for Moses to graduate. And God appears to him at the burning bush. Moses had taken a diversion for years, and in those years, God instructed him. And as a result of that, God was able to shape Moses into the type of person that he needed to be, so that God could then use Moses to go back to Egypt and lead the children of Israel out of bondage and into the promised land. God uses the diversion of instruction to shape us. We are continually being shaped into the image of his dear son. We are a work in progress. That's it. We don't reach that perfection. You know, it's not until the Lord calls us home that mortality puts on immortality and corruption puts on incorruption. We're not there yet. And until then, the Lord is slowly chipping away, that potter working on the clay, shaping us. And the way that he shapes us is to instruct us, is to use these teachers in our lives, whether it's discomfort, solitude, obscurity, time, to be the type of believer he needs us to be. But not only does this type of diversion shape us, this type of diversion sharpens us. Moses said in verse 3, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. God wanted to get Moses' attention. And you wonder, if Moses had not gone through the 40 years of learning to be shaped into who he needed to be, would he have missed this? You know, as a prince of Egypt, as it were, you know, to see something glowing, and would that have attracted his attention back in Egypt when everything in Egypt probably glistened and sparkled as it was covered in gold everywhere? It took God 40 years to shape Moses so that he wouldn't miss this. And then this diversion of instruction sharpens us, because God wants our attention every single day. And sometimes we miss the burning bush experiences in our lives because we're not willing to turn aside. Moses stopped turning aside. That word turn aside, it literally means to change direction. God got Moses' attention enough for Moses to stop what he was doing, to stop in the direction that he was going, and to actually turn aside and say, what is going on? You know, are there instances in our lives where God is trying to get us to turn aside so that we can stop and say, right, what is going on? What is it that I'm doing that's not lining up with God's word? What is it that God wants me to understand from this? What is it that God wants to sharpen me in this area of my life so that I can serve him better? The burning bush moments in our lives is where God gets our attention so much that we can draw closer to him. Can I say this, that so many people have said over these past months of isolation that they have felt closer to the Lord now than they ever have in their Christian walk previous to this? Why? Because for a lot of people, it's been a difficult moment. Because for a lot of people, it's been a scary time. For a lot of people, it's been a worrying time. And for a lot of people, we have had to draw closer to the Lord so that we can draw our strength from him and not try and work this out ourselves. That is a turning point in our lives. This was a turning point in Moses' life. And if Moses had not already taken that diversion of instruction, he could very well have missed this point in his life. Oftentimes, God uses problems or unusual situations in our lives to drive us to his word, to drive us to our knees, to pray in order to not find a solution for our problem, but to find the strength in him to face the problem we're going through. as Moses approaches this bush, he didn't realize what was going on. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Abraham, Jacob, and Samuel all responded the same way. And look how the Lord used them. Wouldn't it be great if every single time the Spirit of God spoke to our hearts that we would say, here am I. Oftentimes we misquote that verse from Isaiah and we say, here am I, Lord, send somebody else. I love it when somebody comes to me and says, oh, I've got a great idea for a ministry for you to do. Well, if God has laid it upon your heart that much, God must have a great idea for a ministry for you to do. That would be great. I could do that all day. Oh, I got a wonderful idea for you to do something. That would be the ultimate act of delegation. I can't delegate to save my life. When Joe says, when I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. So I just listen to her and I just do what she tells me to do. But wouldn't it be great if every time the Spirit of God got our attention, if every time the Spirit of God spoke to us in such a way that we would just be like that, Lord, here am I. What is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to grasp? What is it that you need me to apply to my life? What is it that you need me to do? The greatest of abilities is simply dependability and availability. Dependable people have to first make themselves available. Availability says, I am your servant, and Lord, I'm at your disposal. Availability says that the Lord's needs are a priority in our lives. Availability proclaims, I'll put others before myself. Availability expresses the desire to be used and to accomplish whatever the task is requested of us that the Lord has put upon our hearts. And we're meant to be available to him. That's meant to be a priority in our lives. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our might, with all that is within us. And if he asks us to do something, I'll be honest with you. If Joe asks me to do something, I'm afraid to say no. Because I've got to live with the consequences. The set here is not as comfortable as my bed. And I don't want to live with the consequences of offending Joe. Now, it's not to say that I don't sometimes have my own way at home. When she needs me to have my own way, then I get my own way. Oh, my days. But how much more then when, you know, why would we act that way with somebody that we love in this life to not want to offend them, but yet we kind of flippantly do that with God? When he asks us to do something, we're not worried about offending God. Paul put it this way, we know that all things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. All that we have to do is to be available to God and to let his will be done in our lives. Philip Clark Brewer penned these words about the matter of availability and being used by God for his glory. He says, God uses what you have to fill a need which you could never have filled. God uses where you are to take you where you never could have gone. God uses what you can do to accomplish what you never could have done. God uses who you are to let you become who you never could have been. Notice that God called Moses by the name that was given to him. Not that, you know, that is incredible. That's the importance of our name. God calls us by name. God knows our name. God, we've said this through, you know, through the book of Revelation to the lost world, to the devil. People are just a number. But to God, to those who are saved by the grace of God, he knows our name. He knows the hairs upon our head. He knows the needs that we have before we even have to ask for them. He knows everything that is about us. He knows our deepest hurts. He knows our greatest desires. He knows what we're facing. He knows the difficulties we go through. He knows the storms that we're battling. He knows the darkness that we face. And he knows exactly what is needed to provide a way through the most difficult of situations we face. And he calls us by name. You know, in this world, we're just a number. Every single one of us has got a number. Whether it's a staff number or a national insurance number or a driving license number or... I like to say prison number. I almost said, I don't know why that came to my mind. And I don't know why I was looking in that direction. But we've all got a number. But we're not just a number. We're not a number to God. He knows us by name. We're his child. How incredible that the Lord called us. And he calls us by name. You know, we were looking at the Lord's Prayer this morning and how incredible that we don't view God now because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are able to call God the same title that the Lord Jesus Christ called him. Father. That's an incredible privilege to be able to say that about our holy God. This diversion of instruction sharpens us so that we never forget how special God is in our lives. And then finally, this diversion steadies us. You know, can I say this? These past few months have been some shaky months. And I'm sure that for many of us, we have been unsteady on our feet, as it were, because we've been shaken. But the diversion of instruction steadies us. The Lord said in verse 5, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moses was on holy ground. He needed to take off his shoes. There needed to be a change in the walk and attitude of Moses because he was in the presence of God. God wants us to have fellowship, but we can't have that blasé attitude that says, I understand we can come boldly before the throne of grace, but it's not a blasé attitude that we can just take for granted that we can come before God at any time. We still need to have a change in our lives because there has to be that proper fellowship and we have to approach him on his terms. If you desire a fellowship with him, first and foremost, you have to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Moses took off his shoes. If you take your shoes off when you go outside, how many of you have ever done this? For those of you who've got small children, you will understand. How many of your kids ever played with Lego? Can I say this? That just needs to be declared as a weapon of mass destruction. Because there is nothing like stepping on a piece of Lego in the middle of the night, barefoot. That will be a test of your testimony. I will sing, we will see if you can be like Paul and Silas and sing songs of praise at midnight when you step on a piece of Lego barefoot. How many of you ever walked outside barefoot? Do you kind of still walk with as much confidence? I don't want to say confidence, but do you walk as steadily as you do when you've got shoes on, or are you more careful? Can I say this? When Moses took off his shoes, now he had to be more careful in his walk. The diversion of instruction steadies us. That's what Paul says when he says that we ought to walk circumspectly. To walk circumspectly means that we put our feet in the right place at the right time, that we are careful with our walk. Sometimes we can be a bit haphazard in our walk with the Lord. That, you know, well, it doesn't matter which way we go. Listen, if you take a wrong turn on a walk, I don't know if you've ever been up Llanwynno and gone for a walk up in the forestries. It was lovely during lockdown when, you know, you'd go up for a walk and I'd never, ever seen so many people walking before in my life. Everybody just wanted to get out of the house for 5 minutes. But you only need to take one wrong turn on those mountain paths. And I know the one path, if you take the wrong turn, you end up on the top of Aberdeen Mountain. You need one wrong turn. And it's important that we walk carefully. And it's the same in our Christian walk. We need to be careful in our walk, and the diversion of instruction will steady us in our walk. The Lord may put us on a diversion to instruct us and even slow us down. You can't walk as fast when you are barefoot. We are living, or I say we are living in a fast-paced life. We had been living in such a fast-paced life And I wonder, has the Lord used these past 8 months? Can you believe it's been 8 months? March the 15th was our last service in the church before lockdown. Has God used these last 8 months to say, child, slow down? I understand that. So before people start going crazy and saying, listen, there have been people who have been far busier than these. I understand that with our frontline workers and our key workers. And I'm not saying that they've had it easy or slow down or anything. But for a lot of us, God has put the brakes on the whole of society to actually slow us down. Sometimes the Lord slows us down even to steady us. Moses, having gone through that diversion of instruction, was now steady enough to be able to stand on holy ground before a holy God. Somebody once says that the man who is occupied with the things of the world will be kept from hearing the voice of God in his heart. And as a result of not being able to hear the voice of God in his heart, he will always be spiritually frustrated. This world has so often clamored in our minds and has vied for our attention, and at times has been so noisy that we've not even been able to hear that still small voice. And maybe these last 8 months have been a diversion of instruction. Maybe the Lord has chipped a few things away from us. Maybe the Lord has used Dr. Obscurity, Dr. Time, Dr. Solitude to cause us to rely solely upon the Lord. And as a result, he's shaped us. He's sharpened us, and he's steadied us in our walk for him, so that our attitude should always be, here am I, Lord. In verse 6, God said to Moses, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. How incredible that 40 years earlier, Moses was so full of confidence that he literally took on the might of Egypt on his own for that split second. And now he's fearful, as it were. He's afraid to look upon God. He faced the one that he had failed in Egypt, and he was frightened. But God's intention wasn't to frighten Moses. God's intention was to restore Moses to service. Maybe there's been a lot of things in our lives that we've failed on. And I'm sure that we could all come up with a list of things that we've done that have maybe hurt God, maybe hurt others, maybe frustrated God, whatever it might be. But God's intention is never to bring that back to us, to rub our nose in it, as it were. But God's intention is to always restore us so we can be of use to him, so that he can use us for his glory. When people fail miserably, they sometimes think that they're useless and worthless. And sometimes we can run ahead before we assent. And Moses tried that 40 years previously. We can retreat after we failed. And Moses fled to the desert, and insecurity can drive us there sometimes. We can resist when we are called. And Moses in chapters 3 and chapters 4 offered excuse after excuse after excuse to God why he wasn't the person to be used by God. Or we can remain available and respond obediently when we're called. Any question that Moses had for God, God had a ready answer. Every excuse that Moses offered up, God had a perfect response. Can I say this? I used to be awesome in school at making excuses. I could literally write a book on excuses to give the teachers as to why I didn't do homework. I really did have it down to a fine art. I got to grade 3 of the trombone because band practice in Brinklenag was on the same night as detention. So my dad never found out. Oh, I have now. Great, we can offer excuses up all the time. But we can't do that with the Lord, because every excuse we offer up, God will have a response. Moses said, who am I to do this? And God said, it's not about you, it's about me. Moses said, oh, well, I wouldn't know what to say. Don't worry about what to say. I'll tell you exactly what to say. Oh, yeah, but I wouldn't know who to say. Send me. I am that I am. That's who's sending you. Oh, yeah, but just send somebody else. No, you are the one I'm choosing to send. And I'm even going to provide you, brother, who's already on his way here to meet you. I mean, how far was it from Egypt to Sinai? And yet Aaron had started that journey way before Moses even met God at the burning bush. God had already planned ahead of what was going to happen. There's no excuse that we have that we can offer up to God that God would say, oh, I didn't realize you weren't able to do that, because whatever excuse we have, God will always have a response. God gave Moses a message of hope and deliverance that was yet to come. He said, I will deliver my people Israel. I'm not doing this to prove that you were right all along 40 years ago. I'm doing this to glorify my name, but it just so happens that you are going to be the instrument that I use to bring about that glory unto myself. Moses would learn what he could not accomplish by force 80 years prior to this, sorry. What Moses couldn't accomplish by force, God would prove that could be accomplished by faith. Moses, at 80 years of age, was about to be used of God in a way that could never have ever been imagined possible. God promised that he would be with Moses. And he'll never leave us. He has never left us. Even at our loneliest times in these past 8 months, God has been there. When we have felt like there has been nobody there to help us, God has always been there. When we felt like we couldn't go on, God has always been there to say, my grace is sufficient. In your weakness, my strength is made perfect. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the vine, ye the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. How incredible to think that in every aspect of our life, at any moment in time, the Lord could put us onto a diversion of instruction. And that diversion will shape us, will sharpen us, and will steady us. We never, ever stop learning in our walk with the Lord. We're learning new things every single day when it comes to the Word of God. And how incredible it is to think that God doesn't need to use us, but that God chooses to use us, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. Don't ever stop learning, because we are here to grow in the grace and knowledge of our precious Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. Thank you, Lord, for those opportunities in our lives where we are diverted, as it were, so that you can instruct us. For those times where you bring us into the wilderness, so that we have those times of alone time, that we have those times of solitude and those times of obscurity and time on our hands, so just simply be taught by your hand. Father, we pray that you would help us to realize what we have in our relationship with you. We pray that you'd help us to recognize what it is that you want us to do. And Father, I just pray that each and every one of us would be willing to say, here am I, Lord. Father, there is still so much to be done in this world. We recognize the difficulties that we face, but as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a message of hope. We have a Savior that the lost and dying world needs to accept. And Father, only through accepting Christ can they ever hope to find that peace and that strength and that hope that can only come from you. So, Father, we just pray that you would continue to instruct us in your way. And, Father, we just thank you again for this opportunity to gather around your word. Would you continue to speak to our hearts and keep us safe as we leave this place? And we'd be mindful to give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, then. Our last hymn now, Sibby is going to come and play for us. And if you're at home, then you're more than welcome to sing along. And if you're here, you can sing inwardly. Thanks, Sibby. Thank you. pray. Father, thank you so much again for this time together tonight. Thank you for the opportunities that we've had to gather in this place. And we just pray that you would help us to apply your word to our hearts and to our lives. Father, we recognize the difficulties that each and every one of us face in these dark and desperate days that we're living in at this moment. But Father, we just pray that you would continue to keep our eyes fixed firmly upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And we recognize the fact that he will get us through these difficulties, that we will be able to get through these dark times. Father, I just pray that as a result of going through these difficulties, we might be a witness to those who are lost and without Christ and are fearful for what tomorrow might hold for them. So, Father, we just pray that you would continue to keep us on those diversions of instruction, that we might be shaped and sharpened and strengthened and steadied for the battle that lies ahead of us, and that we might walk worthy of the vocation with which we've been called. And we will certainly be mindful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.